Hello, and welcome to episode 139 of the Sea Control Podcast, hosted by the Center for International Maritime Security. My name is Matt Marighi, your senior producer for Sea Control, and on this week's episode, we hear from four members of the Naval Surface and Mine Warfighting Development Center, commonly known as SMIDIC. SMIDIC is a critical element of the Navy's latest surface force strategy called Return to Sea Control. And its most important supporting element are the men and women who are trained as weapons tactics instructors, called WITIs. In this interview, Sally DeBoer speaks with four WITIs who are on the cutting edge of the cultural shift taking place in the surface Navy. Our guests, Lieutenant Tyson Eberhardt, an anti-submarine warfare, anti-surface warfare tactics instructor. Lieutenant Brittany Hubbard, an amphibious warfare tactics instructor. Lieutenant Benjamin Olivas, an air and missile defense warfare tactics instructor. And Lieutenant Damon Goodrich-Hauska, who serves as the N5 anti-submarine warfare assistant. We'll get started with this eye-opening interview after a brief word about our organization.
SimSec brings you the best content on maritime security, technology, history, and international affairs. Sign up to become a member today by visiting www.simsec.org/about/membership. Join us today.
Welcome back. On this episode of Sea Control, our guests today are four warfare tactics instructors from the Naval Surface and Mine Warfighting Development Center in San Diego, California. Thank you guys for joining us today and taking time out of your schedule. Let's begin by getting a little background on each of you. What did you do prior to coming to SMIDIC, and what drew you to the command?
Well, Sally, Ty Eberhardt here. I was the anti-submarine warfare officer and navigator on USS Preble as a division officer, and I really enjoyed the tactical aspect of getting to lead sonar techs and try and find submarines as a division officer, and the opportunity on shore duty to expand my knowledge base and go out there and help other ASW officers really drew me to command.
Great.
Damon Goodrich-Hauska here. So I served on USS Reuben James, and then I was the training officer on the USS Rushmore. And part of that was going through a training cycle where you get the crew and all the watchstanders up to the level they need to be able to deploy. And through that experience, I really got to enjoy conducting drills and running through scenarios and training sailors. And what drew me to SMIDIC was the ability to learn and implement advanced tactics and then train tacticians, train warfighters on how to do their job. And I really enjoy anti-submarine warfare especially.
Very cool. And just moving on, Lieutenant Hubbard?
Yes, Lieutenant Brittany Hubbard here, Sally. I spent my first student officer tour on board the USS Green Bay, and then I moved on to a destroyer, the USS Boston, as the damage control assistant. What interested me in SMIDIC was going back to my roots as an amphibious sailor, and a lot of the missions that we conducted with the Marine Corps. Taking that and learning how to be a liaison and helping to work on the relationships between us as sailors and our Marine Corps brethren is really what interested me for joining this program.
Great. And last but not least, Lieutenant Oliva.
Hey, Sally. Before I came to SMIDIC, I was the communications officer on USS Paul Hamilton, and then I was a training officer on board USS Michael Murphy, both out of Pearl Harbor. As training officer, I served what's known as the Air Watch Station, AAWC, Anti-Air Warfare Coordinator, and it was exhilarating. I came from a training background where most of my captains knew air extremely well, and going into that billet, it was just something that I really, truly enjoyed. And working with those sailors, understanding their systems, and then teaching people was really enjoying. And so when I heard about SMIDIC, I thought, what better way to use all this knowledge that I accumulated over the course of my career and then pass that on and then at the same time make it good.
Great. Well, quite a breadth of experience in surface warfare pedigree. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Let's begin with kind of a general question. What impact do you see from the work that you have done at SMIDIC so far?
This is Damon Goodrich-Hauska again. One of the biggest, I think, things that I've seen is really a culture shift. And one of the main aspects of that is the PBED model, plan, brief, execute, debrief. And if you look at, like, elite athletes, Olympic athletes, they don't just go out and perform. They don't just go out and do their events. They will study. They'll watch videos of themselves doing the action and look over the minute details to improve, as well as against anyone they're competing against to see if they need to change their methods, change their techniques to adapt to those. So we go out and do what's called SWAT, Service Warfare Advanced Tactics and Training. And we have WTIs on each ship. And after doing various events, such as live fire events, we will actually show the crew and the watchstanders a replay of the event that they just did, including voice recordings of any reports they made. And walking through that, we start with the WTIs doing the majority of the presentation with the watchstanders and crew kind of jumping in here and there. And by the end of the training, the watch teams are really running things on their own, and they're self-identifying issues before we even get to them. And then we're just kind of sitting back and jumping in every once in a while. So seeing that training kind of change hands from the WTIs and from SMITIC to the ship and the ship's watchstanders to where they are able to conduct their own training and really kind of do self-improvement is great.
That's great. I can certainly see the utility in empowering the crew themselves to identify their own mistakes and improve. That's anything else from any of the other witties we have?
Danny mentioned some of the training that we do at sea. We also do that at shore in the schoolhouses that SMITIC runs. So my primary job is as an active sonar instructor for the advanced ASWO courses that all the fleet's ASW officers go through and the warfare tactics instructors from the ASW and SUW schoolhouse. So providing the advanced tactical instruction to the officers that are going to go out and lead sailors or conduct training ashore is also an important part of SMITIC's mission, and that's really been exciting to get to work with sailors before their division officer tours or their witty tours and then go out and serve with them at sea for exercises.
Great. Before we move on, does anyone else have anything else to add on any impact?
Hey, Sal, this is Ben here. One of the other things that we tend to kind of pride ourselves on over here is it's not just about training, it's also about how we teach. And one of the things that we've done over the course of our existence is try to harness the same type of teaching approach that we learned from our other brethren. And that includes being able to appear, teach, and sound essentially the same. And we kind of put them through the ringer here in terms of making them go up and getting do a brief, do it well, and do it over and over and over again. To the point where they put in so many hours, they've done so much research, they've taken all of these different techniques and have internalized them. And that just doesn't go for one particular school branch, it goes for all of them. So when you see a patchwork and you see them give a brief or a lesson, you know that you're going to get a certain product because it's been tailored a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, that seems kind of like something you wouldn't notice right away. But since we've been doing it that way, it's been one of the best payoffs that we've seen so far.
That's fantastic. Well, my next question is related, and Lieutenant Hubbard, I'm going to let you have first pass at this one. How does the reported success of the WTI program in improving tactical proficiency translate to future training development for the Navy's surface warfare officers?
I think that, as was alluded to earlier, is that the three different schoolhouses that we currently have being ran by SMITIC is a very good baseline for how we expect our future SWOs to participate in that tactical proficiency. So we take a very elite cadre of junior officers and we put them through these schoolhouses. And then as we complete our production tour, which is anywhere from 2 to 3 years, we then go back out to the fleet as department heads. And then those department heads are going to eventually become our future executive officers and commanding officers. So what we're doing is we're bringing our tactical proficiency up to a new standard.
That makes a lot of sense. Anything else to add from the rest of the crew?
Another kind of additional point is that
as
we develop new tactics and new doctrine, we get a chance to take it out to
out to sea with real-world watch standards and test it out to make sure that it's up to par, that it works, that it's as effective as we think it is, and if not, we can make adjustments very rapidly.
So moving on to like a more personal experience question, was the emphasis more on teaching rigid existing doctrine or allowing Woody to develop and pursue original new ideas?
It's a little bit of both. So one is that we do rely on doctrine, but we also take our WCI and ensure that we apply rigor, academic rigor, to our doctrine and tactics to make sure they are, in fact, reliable. And if they're wrong, if there are issues, then, again, we identify those, we correct them, and we do have the kind of WTIs that are empowered to enact those changes and improve things.
Mm-hmm.
I think to Damon's point, I mean, you have an opportunity as a WTI to, responsibility to know the doctrine and know exactly what the standing guidance is for the Navy, but you have an opportunity to think critically about it and to bring those good ideas to the organization. We run events like the Sharem and SEC exercises where we have a chance to actually try out new tactics and see how effective they can be, and then feed that back in the form of task memos and eventually into NTTPs and formalized doctrines.
Hey, Sally, Ben here. One of the good things about being able to test out new things is also applying things like you talked about earlier where you do it as a muscle memory. So the more we internalize tactics, the more that we apply them out there in the fleet, we're able to make it to the point where it's no longer just something that's external. It's something that's already built into you. So it becomes part of the ship. And out there on the water, where you have to make very, very quick decisions, all that's already built into you, so it creates a force multiplier for the entire fleet.
Mm-hmm. So moving on to the next question, and I think this is something you guys have visited already, so at the risk of being repetitive, but I think it's important enough to revisit, how do you see yourselves at SysMedic speeding up and improving the Navy's ability to field new thinking and capabilities? I know you guys have spoken to the fact that you're out there with ships that are operating, providing real-time feedback. What are your thoughts on how you are speeding up and improving new thinking and capabilities to the fleet today?
So a lot of what we do when we go out to these ships and when we're working in the schoolhouse is taking the current doctrine, but we also look at new ways of utilizing that doctrine. So we receive immediate feedback from the ship, and I know this has been alluded to earlier, but we receive all these immediate feedback, and then we conduct workshops, and we have working groups, and we take a really hard look at what we're currently teaching and make sure that that is the best way to conduct that event.
Mm-hmm.
Ben here. Another thing that we kind of hit on in terms of how we see ourselves improving it is also just the impact that we see in the classroom. The way that we teach, we kind of alluded to it earlier, but being able to sit down, listen to these briefs, and take them in such a way that we created them, it's created a much better sponge, so to speak, for the students. They've taken a lot of what we've done, and they get it. And we've tailored those presentations and those lessons where when they walk away from the classroom, they're ready to use it.
Mm-hmm.
We have a particular model that we use. It's called ARC. It stands for attention, relevance, confidence, and satisfaction. And one of the things that we do is we see that as a feedback loop for the students. So if we have their attention, that's a very, very good thing. Relevance, i.e. what's in it for me, how does that apply to them? We try to timer that home. Confidence being that they can walk away and they feel like they get it. They can understand it. They comprehend it. And satisfaction being that they can walk out of the classroom, go to their ship, go into combat, or get ready for an exercise, and satisfactorily use those things that we taught them.
And just Damon here, just to add on, as far as the operational environment, real-world events, as the more we get WTIs out to the ships as department heads, and especially once we kind of hit that critical mass where we have at least one WTI per ship, we've already created a network of WTIs, and we all know how to get in touch with the subject matter experts in various areas, and we know where to go and who to talk to, and a lot of that reach back comes back to SMITIC and then out to other organizations. And we have very good communications also with the Top Gun, with the aviation undersea communities. And as things change, as real-world events occur, we rapidly get that feedback as well, and we can develop new tactics, new doctrine if needed. We can model new systems that are going into the fleet, and any feedback from doctrine, from tactics that get used in the real world, we can rapidly get back into the classroom, make sure that that very next set of witties that go out there tour to train folks are getting the most up-to-date information. So we're not teaching out-of-date stuff. We're teaching the absolute latest, greatest stuff that's out there.
Okay, so you guys have developed a really strong, or the intent is to develop a strong network of these witties going back out to ships and providing this kind of nimble feedback. That makes a lot of sense. You provided me the perfect segue, so I'm going to move on to my next question about what kind of collaboration and integration do witties have with one another and with those different communities that you mentioned. So I know you said that you do have a strong relationship with the aviators and the undersea folks, but can you provide some examples of how you interact with them and how that strengthens your mission?
Oh, yeah, Brittany here. So one way that we do that is anytime that we have a course that we're trying to teach and we have an area of interest that we want a little bit more information on, whether that be to go out to a ship, to conduct an event, or to conduct some sort of workshop, we reach out to that respective community. For example, we are participating in we conduct a Sea Combat Commander course for various Dedrons and Cibrons as they're working through their training cycles. And we have recently reached out to the aviation weapons schools and have asked them for participation and for input to make sure that we are as tactically proficient in the areas that we're teaching as they are.
Mm-hmm.
Along those lines, it's an important part of what witties are doing right now is that it's not something that's just happening within SMITIC as an organization. While SMITIC trains witties, they're working for the Service Worker Officer School, for the afloat training group, as ships do their qualifications, for the Undersea Warfighting Development Center, and other organizations that each have specific focuses, and that allows us as a community of WTI to try and foster cross-domain thinking about problems that don't just affect ASW or surface warfare, but affects the whole spectrum of naval warfare.
Mm-hmm. So it's a really holistic approach then. So I'll move on to the next question. How can you... You guys have addressed this to some extent as well, but how can you work to keep your skills current in an age of rapid change? And I know we've kind of gone over a little bit how you guys have that nimble feedback system and you bring stuff to the classroom that's happening in the real world. Is there anything else on that?
So we have a lot of WTIs here at SMITIC that are traveling, going out and doing various events, doing training on ships, and getting a lot of really great experience. Live fire events, things that you normally get to do maybe once or twice in a career. We have WTIs that are going out and doing multiple times a year. And what we ended up starting was what we call Tactical Taco Tuesday. So it's kind of a fun event we do multiple times a month, and it's basically a long kind of working lunch here where we cross-train between, we kind of get a cross-domain training going on between the integrated air and missile defense folks, between the anti-submarine warfare service warfare folks, and between the amphibious warfare folks. We pull in other warfare areas as well, cryptological warfare, intel folks, and we get some good cross-training, but it's a little less formal, and it allows for really good quality discussion and feedback, and for all of us to ask the really detailed, in-depth questions we want. And also, of course, everybody brings food. So it kind of also builds that esprit de corps as well between the WTI community so that we keep that network strong. And then when we go back to our ships, to our other tours, we know who to talk to. We know who the experts are. On a more, so that's kind of the fun, less formal way we do it. the more formal way to do it is that routinely the WTIs will go back to the schoolhouses. It's called reblueing, similar to the way you would reblue a barrel on a gun, right? So keeping that weapon sharp and operational, we go back to the schoolhouses and we do kind of refresher courses, get the latest and greatest updates on tactics, techniques, procedures.
So throughout a surface warfare officer's career, throughout a Woody's career, they'd have the opportunity to come back and refresh.
Right.
Great. That makes a lot of sense. Any other input on how to keep one's skills current in the age of rapid change? You guys have done such a good job answering these questions. We've already covered so much ground in such a short amount of time. You guys are ready to roll here. We'll move on to the next question, kind of a longer-term view. What do you think is next for the SMITIC and the WTI program, and how do you envision WTI being utilized, you know, 5 or 10 years down the line?
So I think we have discussed it just briefly, but as WTI, this is simply a 2 to 3 year production tour that we are participating in. So when we leave this production tour, we do not take off our packs. So it is still up to us to continue and remain to be as tactically proficient as our respective WTI patch would designate us to be. So in 5 or 10 years, the goal is to be department heads and then executive officers and then continuing on to be those commanding officers, all the while continuing to build that knowledge base that you started back during your WTI production tour.
And as we have more and more senior leadership who's WTI qualified, it's going to push really an overall culture change. For the old phrase, rising tide raises all ships or all boats. It's kind of that idea that that as you have a CO, an XO, maybe a department head that are all very sets of WTI, then they're going to have that emphasis on being the best, drilling hard, you know, working on doctrine and tactics. And really we can have a ultimate, we will shift our focus, because WTIs are supposed to be warriors and thinkers and teachers, right? So they're going to be out there standing the tactical watches, being really, they're supposed to be the best in their areas. They're gonna be thinkers. They're gonna work on doctrine, work on tactics, work on improving the processes that we have, as well as possibly development of new systems, ideas for that. And then teachers, in that they're going to train watch standers, train ships, train even strike groups, so that ultimately will improve our warfighting ability.
That makes a lot of sense, and like you said, Lieutenant Hubbard, I think that really resonated with me. Your tour is short. It's only 2 or 3 years, but you're taking that experience back out, and not only have you bettered yourself, but you're going to better others as well. That makes a ton of sense. And any other input on that? Any other vision for the next 5 or 10 years?
I definitely do, Sally. One of the things that we really kind of try to hammer home is that this command is primarily consisting of 03 and 04, which in the grand scheme of things is generally junior in rank. But we're the ones that are doing the research. We're doing the homework. We're teaching. And it's not just our peers. It's also people that are from the enlisted ranks and people that are higher than us sometimes. And that's a good thing because that ultimately creates a breed of young officers that go on to better the Navy in certain ways that we've discussed. But ultimately, I think what we're trying to get at is that the counselors will be the gatekeepers. And they're the ones that are have the access to all these brand new thoughts and give you the breadth and knowledge so that way you can build something great.
Mm-hmm.
I think the WTI program is part of an effort to put warfighting first among surface warfare officers. There are so many things that as SLOs, we're expected to become proficient at, you know, operationally, administratively. But bottom line is we need to be warfighters, and we need to have an advanced level of knowledge in tactics and in putting rounds on target. And by building this cadre of WTIs, as Brittany said, you know, we'll only be in our SMITIC tours for a couple of years, but
for years down the line as department heads, and hopefully beyond, we'll be making an impact by bringing that mindset to the fleet.
Well, that's great, and another great segue you guys have provided me, and we'll go around again. But if a lot of our listeners, they may be young JOs themselves, aspiring surface warfare officers maybe, or maybe people just from other communities, but what would your message be to aspiring surface warfare officers who are interested in SMDIC and what you guys are doing there? And we'll go around in the same order of our introduction. So beginning with you, Lieutenant Everhart, please.
So I think what most excites me about getting to be a part of SMDIC at this point is that the Navy is investing in my level of knowledge and in my ability to go out and lead sailors in the future. And it's exciting to train others, it's exciting to do these really cool exercises, but bottom line is every single day that I come in to SMDIC, I learn something new, and the organization is committed to training me to a higher level of knowledge that's going to pay off for years, because I've come to a whole new appreciation of how important it is to be an expert in surface warfare.
Great. And Lieutenant Goodrich?
For aspiring surface warfare officers, as a JO, as a non-qualified SWO working towards that SWO pin, you have a lot of things to focus on. You have a lot of things to learn. But number one, I think, is learn as much as you can. Focus on tactics, but communicate it with your chain of command early that you're interested. If you have a passion for tactics and training, and you really want to be an expert war fighter, let your chain of command know early. Of course, work on your qualifications, do your job well. But there are a lot of opportunities to get various warfare coordinator, warfare qualifications while you're a JO, whether it's as well anti-submarine warfare officer for your second tour leading into it, or various air warfare qualifications you can get if you serve on Aegis cruiser or destroyer. Really focusing on those and working towards becoming the best tactician you possibly can in your position. And whatever watch station you stand, if you can be the go-to guy or gal in that watch station, that's going to go a long way. And then when you do apply for WTI and you have those recommendations, that's really going to help you.
Mm-hmm. And Lieutenant Hubbard?
For the surface warfare officers who are looking to come to SMDIC, this is probably going to be a once-in-a-career type of opportunity for you. Every day when I come into work, my job is to take research, take what we're doing, take a schedule, and make it the best that I can for the fleet or for that event or for a scenario. There wasn't a time in the first 4 years of my career that someone asked me to research tactics and to just come in and try to figure out a problem. But for all of the surface warfare officers, this is your time, your 2 to 3 years out of your career that you can spend just focusing on making a warfare area better. And you'll build relationships and you'll network and you will feel immediate worth every day when you leave work from what you do here. And that is something that is very different from a lot of the tours that you could do otherwise.
And last but not least, Lieutenant Oliver.
Looking back on everything, I think all of us are still very close enough now to our JO careers to realize that being a junior officer on board a warship is not an easy task. It's a lot of sustained hard work that keeps you up many nights that you're studying, and we understand just how much you work so hard for your pin and to keep your division running. Your short tour is a time where a lot of people decide to take a little bit of gas off the pedal and kind of regroup. At SMDIC, we do have that opportunity, but we're also given a lot of work to do our job. But it's a different kind of work. It's good work. It's something that is going to make a difference. And quite frankly, out of all the people I've worked with in my brief career, there's no one else that I would rather work with. There's just too many great people here that are trying to make a difference. And that work is going to echo in the Navy for many, many years to come. So my takeaway to you is, if you're qualified in an area or pursuing it right now, pursue it rigorously. Go into the pub. Talk to the watch members. Ask as many questions as you can. Because maybe one day, you may be teaching others how to do that. And it's going to matter. That's why we were created.
Well, that seems like a wonderful place to end, and it's certainly confidence-building and reassuring to know you guys are there thinking the big thoughts day in and day out and preparing for tomorrow's conflict as tomorrow's surface warfare leader. So I want to thank you each for taking so much time out of your, I know it's a very busy schedule, to join us here on Sea Control, and for certainly leaving our listeners more informed about the work that you're doing and about the mission of Naval Surface and Mine Warfighting Development Center. We hope you'll join us again in the future. And for our listeners, this has been another episode of Sea Control. Thanks for listening.
That concludes episode 139 of the Sea Control podcast from the Center for International Maritime Security. I'm Matt Marighi, your senior producer for Sea Control. Special thanks to our guests from SMITIC this week, our host, Sally DeBoer, and our producer, Ryan Yulia. And if you enjoyed this podcast, but you haven't already yet subscribed to Sea Control, please do. Subscribing gives you automatic access to all of our episodes as they become available. And if you really like us, go on over to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, and tell all of your friends to tune in. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time on Sea Control.